This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Welcome to Sunday Commentary, a weekly program designed to break open the Sunday Scripture readings. Join us as we listen to God's Word and seek to grow in our love and understanding for the good news in our lives. And now, Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman.
The Liturgical Scripture Readings for the Fourth Sunday of Lent. A reading from the Second Book of Chronicles. In those days, all the princes of Judah, the priests and the people added infidelity to infidelity, practicing all the abominations of the nations and polluting the Lord's temple, which he had consecrated in Jerusalem. Early and often did the Lord, the God of their fathers, send his messengers to them, for he had compassion on his people and his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his warnings, and scoffed at his prophets, until the anger of the Lord against his people was so inflamed that there was no remedy. Their enemies burnt the house of God, tore down the walls of Jerusalem, set all its palaces afire, and destroyed all its precious objects. Those who escaped the sword were carried captive to Babylon, where they became servants of the king of the Chaldeans and his sons, until the kingdom of the Persians came to power. All this was to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah. Until the land has retrieved its lost Sabbaths, during all the time it lies waste, it shall have rest while 70 years are fulfilled. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord inspired King Cyrus of Persia to issue a proclamation throughout his kingdom, both by word of mouth and in writing. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, "All the kingdoms of the earth the Lord, the God of heaven, has given to me, and he has also charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever therefore among you belongs to any part of his people, let him go up, and may his God be with him." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The responsorial psalm, "Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you."
Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you.
By the streams of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. On the aspens of that land we hung up our harps.
Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you.
For there our captors asked us the lyrics of our songs, and our despoilers urged us to be joyous. Sing for us the songs of Zion.
Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you.
How could we sing a song of the Lord in a foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand be forgotten.
Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you.
May my tongue cleave to my palate if I remember you not, if I place not Jerusalem ahead of my joy.
Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, brought us to life with Christ. By grace you have been saved, raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from you, it is the gift of God, and it is not from works, so that no one may boast. For we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that God has prepared in advance that we should live in them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Carla, on this fourth Sunday of Lent, this is given a special name, Laetare Sunday. We have, of course, rose-colored vestments with our priest. Many people think they're just pink, but you know the reason why they're not pink.
That's right, because Jesus didn't pink from the dead. He rose from the dead.
Ah, there you go. There you go. So much wisdom that we have for you on this show.
Who knew, right?
Who knew? Well, we've got some great readings. We're actually here from the second book of Chronicles. Now, a lot of people aren't necessarily very familiar with Chronicles because we don't hear from them all that often. But 1 and 2 Chronicles is similar to 1 and 2 Kings, but presented from a different perspective. So similar time frames, different perspective. And today we get some very stark readings. I mean, this is a story of what happens when the leaders of the kingdom of Judah turn away from God. And by turning away, I don't mean just indifference. These princes, the priests, the people added infidelity to infidelity. They mocked, they despised, they scoffed the prophets. I mean, this was a direct turning away from God and his word. And we, of course, see some terrible consequences.
Exactly. And it goes on and says, they practice all of the abominations of the nations, polluting the Lord's temple. We're talking serious stuff here. And you know, these words really, in a sense, they describe what's happening today. And sadly, even among baptized Christians within the confines of the Catholic Church, there are church leaders who sanction and support contraception, abortion, and euthanasia, cohabitation of unmarried couples, and same-sex unions. The tribes of Judah chose love of self over their love of God, and they were blinded by sin. They rejected the warning of the prophet Jeremiah, and it wasn't long before the tribe of Judah was taken into exile by King Nebuchadnezzar, where they remained until Cyrus, king of Persia, sent them free. And we hear a little bit of that in this reading also.
Yeah, that's very true. And even if you turn away from those moral precepts that you were just talking about, think then it also affects, I'll call it the secular precepts, the dictatorship of relativism that we have today, losing any sort of biological reality in our institutions today, cancel culture. We have child abuse, which we call gender-affirming care. I mean, why do we think that we can turn our backs on God and his commandments and expect him to come to our aid when things go wrong? You know, if people like surprise, like, oh God, what happened? Why did this bad thing happen? And yet we, for many years and decades now, have turned away from God and his teachings. And, you know, I would say that if we want to know our future, we just need to read these readings, don't we?
I think you're right. Yeah.
Because we've had Jeremiah's, we've had prophets that the church has been sending us for many years. And there's, of course, too many to mention here. But even think back in what the 40s and 50s with Fulton J. Sheen and his works and his words and prophecies. Of course, today, Bishop Sarah or our previous Pope Benedict XVI, so many people come out and said, you need to return back to God, to return and restore that relationship in order for us to be blessed. And we, again, today mock and despise and scoff many of our good priests, our good bishops, and how important it is to turn again with repentance to God. Because we know what that response is going to be. Now, again, this has been a reading of destruction. As you mentioned with Cyrus, ultimately it does end in restoration, but oftentimes there's a lot of suffering that happens between those two points.
Yes.
When we finally get to a point, we say, God, I need you.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in our second reading today, we have a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. And the thing I guess I wanted to focus on with this one, in addition to the immensity of God's love, is he has this word or this line here, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And I want to make sure that we don't take this out of context, because this certainly points to a past or a completed action that has continuing effects in the present. But remember, as Catholics, we talk about that we have been saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. So it's a threefold impact or a threefold aspect to our salvation. And think also about what was written in Philippians 2, chapter 12, or chapter 2, verse 12. You know, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Definitely a future aspect to our salvation. So the thing I guess I want to point out here is that this talks about an initial salvation and how beautiful that is, and how baptism is a beautiful part of that. And we are his handiwork. And let's remember that we continue to work out our salvation through our journey. How important it is to, you know, embrace God and his teachings and his words throughout our entire life.
Yeah, well said.
Well, in our gospel today, gospel according to John, and there's Nicodemus. What a wonderful figure we have here in Nicodemus, isn't it?
Yeah, so Nicodemus, now he was a Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin. And if we back up just a few verses to the beginning of chapter 3, we will hear that Nicodemus went to see Jesus at night, and that is an important detail. Nicodemus first went to Jesus under the cover of darkness because he didn't want to tarnish his reputation. He didn't want to suffer criticism from those who wouldn't approve of his association with Jesus. And this is where our gospel reading picks up today. As Jesus is explaining to Nicodemus how the world will be redeemed and warns him of the consequences for rejecting the Son of God. Now, this is the same Nicodemus that we will hear about later on in John's gospel. And when we get to chapter 19, we'll hear about how after Jesus's crucified body was taken down from the cross, Nicodemus went with Joseph of Arimathea to take Jesus's body for burial. And that time, he didn't try to hide it. He did it in the day of light, in the light of day. And he even went to the extent to bring with him about 100 or so pounds of myrrh and burial herbs. And likely that meant loading up a pack mule, and it would not have gone unnoticed by the Pharisees. And that was the action of a changed man. He wouldn't have jeopardized his reputation unless he truly believed in what he was doing. We're more than halfway through our Lenten journey now, and it's a good time for us to reflect on our own lives. Do our thoughts, our words, and our actions reflect a change for the better, or do we find ourselves still stuck in stubborn old habit patterns of sin that we would rather keep hidden under the cover of darkness? And if we do, there's a cure. We can take it to Jesus in the sacrament of reconciliation. So if you have not yet been to confession this Lenten season, go as soon as possible.
Yeah, like you say here, especially with Nicodemus, God gives us a choice to love the light or prefer the darkness. And we have to make that decision. And I love your example about how Nicodemus chose to live in the light after he was touched by Christ. Vatican II says that no one is freed from sin by himself or by his own efforts. No one is raised above himself or completely delivered from his own weakness, solitude, or slavery. All have a need for Christ. Indeed, we are saved through Christ, and it's Jesus's crucifixion and resurrection, which is our remedy to cure us from the poisonous bites of sin. Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman, produced at the studios of Modern Day Radio. For more information about this show, go to moderndayradio.com. That's MATEREDEI radio.com.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through MaterDayRadio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.